الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كل نفس بما كسبت رهينة. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. One interesting and moral story by which we can take great lessons, and Allah may give us tawfiq that we take inspiration from it. That is, before we come into our subject, on one occasion there were three very great friends, very, very close. So close that they used to say, one soul, three bodies. Like one soul, one body. But they were so close, like it was one soul, three bodies. The one was Imam Waqidi, rahmatullah alayh, was a great historian on seer and tariq. There are other aspects of his life, but for our purpose, this lesson that we have to take from here. And he had one Hashimi friend, a Sayyid, and another non-Hashimi. The three of them very, very close to one another. So one occasion of Eid, just before Eid, Imam Waqidi's wife came to him and she told him that we have got absolutely nothing for Eid. And for me it's no problem, I'll make sabr, I'll endure, I'll tolerate. But our little children who are mixing with all the children in the neighborhood, families, children, and all are talking, we buying this new clothes, this kind of shoes I'm going to wear each day, this kind of topi, this kind of kurta, etc. And they are, our children, torn and tattered clothes, they've got nothing. They crying, that I can't take, it's very hard for me. How they are so desperate and forcing me that we must make some arrangement for them. For myself, I got no problem, I'll endure, I'll make sabr, but for the children, I can't take it. Please arrange something. So he wrote a little note to this Hashimi, the Sayyid friend, and told him, I'm in this predicament, if you can help me. So immediately he sent a sealed bag, and on there was written, there are 1,000 gold coins in there. If that is for you, use it, I'm sending it for you. His happiness hardly still, he expressed his full happiness, that his other friend wrote a note to him, similar conditions, that I'm also, this Eid is here and we are in a problem, if you can help me. So without opening the bag or anything, he sent it to him. And now he was shy, he was going to his wife, what is going to tell her? So he went to the masjid and made etiquette, 3 days, 2 days, 3 days, how am I going to face my wife? So he made etiquette, but how long he's going to stay in the masjid, yet to come. When he came home, now he was afraid also, what he is going to face. But the wife also, such a Allah wali, she said, okay, no problem. You did the perfect and right thing. You send it away to somebody who was more in need. You send it to him. So alhamdulillah, I'm very happy you did the right thing and you took the right decision. They were talking and then the Sayyid friend, he came to him with that bag. And he asked him, what's the story here? You asked me for this, I send it to you. Now how come it has come back to me? I don't understand this whole, it's all a confusion here. So he explained that we were desperate, I wrote to you, you send it to me. Then this other friend of us, he was desperate, he wrote to me. So I send it to him. He said, then I was desperate. So I sent a note to this friend of ours, and he sent me the bag and it came back to me again. Just like that, sealed everything. So then they decided that they will share it out, 1,000 gold coins, 300 each, and 100 for Imam Waqidi's wife. That she also encouraged and she was so tolerant and happy. So just like this came into gossip column, all people talking about it everywhere. The news reached the king also, who was the Khalifa of the Muslims. So he summoned them, that what is this I'm hearing, what all this whole thing happened here? They explained to him. He was so happy how one, يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. They were giving preference to the next person, though they were suffering and going through sufferings. So he was so impressed, he gave them 10,000 gold coins. They shared it 3,000 each, and she got 1,000. So for each one, Allah multiplied it by 10. When we give like this, how much Allah Ta'ala gives in return? The giving attitude was a great giving attitude of the Muslims, and alhamdulillah till today also. Like for example, the riots that came in KZN some time back, and the Christian people were saying that our church people were not there to help us. It was these Muslim people. And also when the floods came there in KZN also, it was the Muslim people. In Pakistan, when the floods came about 2 years ago or something, 18 months ago, then people who are like the very modern liberal type, who have this attitude that from where will Maulanas eat? They earn so little, they haven't got enough, from where are they going to eat? They are poor, nothing they got. But the modern people of Pakistan were saying, no NGOs, no government bodies, nobody was there to help the people, it were the Maulanas to help them. Where no one else was prepared to go. And people had difficult conditions. It was these Maulanas who were there to help them. So the giving attitude, Allah Ta'ala make it come more in us. And the rewards of it are so great and so immense. In this world Allah rewards. But of course, what condition? It must be done for Allah's pleasure. If it is done to get more from Allah, then what you got also will go. But if it's done for the pleasure of Allah, Allah will give you so much that you cannot imagine also. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to have this. And some friends of ours, ulama, who went and distributed some money in Cape Town to the poor and needy, they met one alim, very limited his income. It can't cover his expenses. But the first expense of when he gets his wages is a portion he has set aside to help certain people who are even more worse off. Though he himself, it doesn't cover his expenses, what he's earning. But the first expense that comes out from his salary is to see to those people. So that attitude, that was always a very, very special thing. But today, unfortunately, by the dirty efforts of the enemy, of our enemies, that today we got enough money to spend on holidays, to spend on clothes, to waste money, squander money. Any occasion, whether it's a walima, whether it's some Quran khatam, whether it is some other function, we're just looking and we're just squandering money. While people we know around us, we know ourselves that there are people in our family, in our neighborhood who are going through difficulties, but we just don't get the tawfiq to give them anything. And to give other people, to waste money and prepare our road to Jahannam, that we got enough money to prepare to our road to Jahannam. But to help people, unfortunately we haven't got that. May Allah give us that tawfiq. The ayat that I recited, Allah Ta'ala says, Kullu nafsim bima kasabat. Every nafs, every soul, on account of what it has earned, what it has done, rahina, it is pawned. Like you went pawned something somewhere, you put your article, they give you some money. So all your deeds are pawned for what you have done. So on that we all should think, what are my deeds of my life? Presently, what am I involved in? And we don't have to play like an idiot, like an ostrich, put our head in the ground and like nothing is happening. The Quran Sharif is so explicit on this that Allah says, that balil insanu ala nafsihi basira. Insan, he knows his insight, basira, very well. Basira, like udu ila sabili rabbika ala basira. When I call towards Allah with that firm conviction, basira, a proper deep understanding. So everyone knows himself very, very well. Walo alqa ma'azira. But he puts up a show all the time. And he shows I'm a very pious person outwardly. But inside he knows how rotten he is. How many people dress outside proper to sunnat with complete amama and beard and topi, everything, woman in burqa. But the love of the kuffar, their sports, their lifestyle is full in their hearts. So outwardly we act like that. We have friendship with somebody, that I'm his very good friend. But at the same time, we are planning and plotting against him also. That is also full in our heart. So everyone knows his condition. So every one of us should think, what am I doing in my private life? What my desires, my haram desires? And these have to be changed also. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, his quoted Imam Ghazali, Rahmatullah Ali, was a master in this field. He said that all of us, we are made of two components, our ruh, our soul, and our body. Body is made of dunya things, so body inclines to dunya things, and ruh inclines towards spirituality, the upper, the super world by Allah Ta'ala. The ruh goes in that, and the body to this dunya things. First thing, the body needs food and clothing, shelter, basic necessities. Those are there. But if you keep on just worrying about that all the time, then these things become very dear to you, become the priorities, the most important things. And as you come, then from necessity, love for these things come. And from love, ishq comes. Ishq, very deep love. Such love that you are prepared to forgo other things for this year. When the deep love comes for something, then you prepare to forgo other things. So we see in that field, like Imam Ghazali explains about his time, but in our time, like sports, for example, when you have to have a little free time, to relax a little, no problem, but when now you promote that, now you go a bit further, and sports, like sports, where was a sport, kicking a ball, throwing, just some little sports. It went further, it became a religion. And a person, that was his religion. It went further and it became his God now. That a person is for sports. We know what sacrifices. People are getting up for tahajjud to go and help somebody middle of the night. Impossible. But to watch that game live, middle of the night, is no problem. It's enjoyable. It's a pleasure. To do some basic work is difficult. But to watch a film 1 hour, and then again, after that, another film also. And in that way, sleep, which we know is so important, but we can even forego our sleep. For all these things, a person who goes into fishing, becomes a fanatic in fishing, for example, then see the fishing shops, what and what are they offering? You go and buy there, you won't have food. Just like a person who gambles, he hasn't got money for food. He hasn't got money to see to his needs, but for his gambling he's got money. A drug addict, all his basic necessities he haven't got. All those things, that is ishq when it comes. Now you are prepared to forego and for everything. So these things come in a person. So a person has to work, and the method of working, what we call islah, alhamdulillah, if we follow the ways of our akabir, which is the sunnah tariqah, is very easy. Don't think of fighting these things. You are very much in sports, don't think of giving it up. You are very much in woman, don't think of giving it up. All you do is make effort to get the love of Allah. Once the love of Allah, these things will, you don't know where. إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْحَقْ زَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ. When the haq comes, the batil just vanishes. Just like you come in the masjid early in the morning, dark it is. Normally muazzin comes. Now he just puts one switch on, and where the darkness went, you didn't have to give a big bayan to the darkness. You didn't have to get some machine guns and some bombs to bomb out the darkness. You didn't have to give big, big bayans to the darkness. Just put that one switch on. Just let the light come. And wakan al-batilu zahuqa. The very nature, mizaj of batil is to disappear. But the only condition is bring the haq. So all this batil, whether it's a drug, whether it's humanizing, whether it's whatever it can be, the sports, the entertainment, the holidaying, all whatever it can be, just bring the love of Allah. That is all. And all this will disappear. You won't even think about it anymore. Like this, you think, I'm involved in this guna, how am I going to give it up? You try. So you get it right 2-3 times, and there you go again. and you are completely gone again. So just bring the love of Allah Ta'ala, and with the love of Allah, namazes will be enjoyable. Now you look forward to namaz. You won't look for an excuse that today I'm excused, I don't have to go for jamaat or something. But now you won't be able to stay away. Tilawat, automatically you will start loving. This one lady in Trinidad, she was most probably Jordanian origin, but perhaps born there. She passed away about 4 years ago at the age of 83. At the age of 60, she got cataract. So the biggest lament she was that I won't be able to read Quran Sharif anymore. Her practice was to read one supara a day, and she, I'm not Hafiz, and my eyesight is will go, how will I read Quran? That was her biggest worry. She explains to her granddaughter, but I saw Allah's Qudrat, that Allah is not in need even of your eyes to see. When Allah wants you to do something, He gives you. She said, I started reading two suparas with my cataract, and then now you can't see properly. How are you going to read now? But she said, I saw Allah, and in this way Allah builds your iman in yaqeen. That is the yaqeen we're supposed to have. Allah is not in need of our eyesight. Allah is not in need of our mouth to eat. When He wants to, Allah's qudrat is above everything. So then she started. And then as time went, it went to 4 suparas. And about 4 or 5 years before she passed away, 10 suparas a day she was reading. And then the granddaughter says, when she passed away, on the groups we put it out that if some ladies are prepared to read one supara for her, Isal Sawab. So 10 women got ready to read one supara. And in this way, in a month, they complete their khatam also. And every day, they reading for her also, her 10 suparas. Everyone reading 1 supara, her 10. She says, Subhanallah, what 1 woman was doing, now 10 women are doing the work of 1 woman. And all this is on that yaqeen and that love of Allah. So if you have the love of Allah, all these things will become beloved. And the other way, at the beginning, it's not easy. You haven't got desire for namaz. It's like a duty, it's like a burden, it's like tough, but force yourself. For a few days, your zikr, for a munafiq, to go and move a mountain from its place is easy. But to read 1 ayat of the Quran, very hard. And how many of us are like that? To go and read one page of the Quran, very hard. But to go and do something as hard work, that is very easy to do. To go and spend 100,000 rand on a holiday is easy. But to give 10 rand to somebody is very hard for us. So force yourself in these things. And when you do force and you get it right, just stick to it. That will bring the love of Allah. Develop the love of Allah. That will make your namazes, your tilawat, your zikr enjoyable. How many of us to sit and make zikr? It's like impossible. How can you sit and make zikr? What you get from it? What you wasting? Na'uzubillah, you wasting your time. But then when you get that love, you can't leave your zikr alone. Now it's like a person who's addicted to his tea. If he doesn't have his morning tea, his afternoon tea, his head is not functioning. Like that your zikr will be like that. If I don't make my zikr, things are not going right in my life. But for us, it's unfortunately not like that. So develop the love of Allah. And the love of Allah is just to remove the dirt on the cover, on top. Allah's love is there in everyone. When everyone, Allah said, Alastu bi Rabbikum, and Allah showed Himself to us. That love of Allah is in everyone's heart. But now this dunya's love and this engagement with all this other thing, that has covered it. So it just met, that is why you have a shaykh, you go khanka, just to remove that. Zikr is for that. Namaz is for that. Just to remove that cover of dust and dirt. And then that light of Allah's love will shine out again. And then you'll see how smooth your life goes. And what barakat Allah gives. And in the house, what muhabbat and understanding. Now it's not a fear when I go home, my wife is going to take off with me. Or she fears my husband is coming, or he is going to blow his head now again. And nothing like that. You look forward to one another. eagerly to go home to meet your wife. She is eager, my husband will come. With the parents, with the children, all relations, everything. Allah makes things then go easy. Man amila saliha min zakarin wa unsa, wa huwa mu'min. Allah says, who makes righteous deeds, has got iman. Man or woman, whoever it is, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. The translation of which Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, hum inko mazedar zindagi denge. We will give them an enjoyable life in this very world. And for akhirat, وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. The reward in the hereafter, we won't just give them equal to what they have done, بِأَحْسَنِ, much more better. And Allah's ahsan, only Allah knows how much better it will be. Allah's mercies are so great. Just now we read a hadith that parents who always worry about their children, if they've gone somewhere, when will they come back, they must be safe. And we know what thoughts Shaitan puts. This could be happening, that could be happening, all that, anywhere. Your child is in a boarding school in madrasa, he's in a boarding there in the madrasa. I wonder what's my child, what's he up to? Other students mustn't take advantage of him. This must, all that worries, break rewards by Allah Ta'ala. Just all that worries you have of your children, on that Allah gives great, great reward. And there are so many people who outwardly we will see they're not like really pious. But for their children, how much they are concerned. On that, what rewards they are getting. By Allah Ta'ala, if you, for example, keep your pen in your right pocket always, and one day is something you are busy and you put it in your left pocket, you yourself put it. Now when you needed it again, you put your hand in your right pocket, you're not finding it. Now that worried, where's my pen? It's a small thing, it's not such a big thing. For some people it's a big thing, but for most, you have enough money, you've got enough pens also. Just that worry also, on that also is sawab from Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. So we all have to think, all our actions which we have done, that in the qabr it will be we and our actions, all our gunas. There, for example, we were young, we were at school, at college, and many people had girlfriends, boyfriends. You did many wrong things. You were not keeping rozas, perhaps namazas we weren't making, and we haven't made tawbah till today. That guna is still on us. We must make tawbah from that and consciously make tawbah for all our wrong of our whole life. Otherwise, all that, kullu nafsin bima kasabat rahina, they will be with us in the qabr. And now it won't be that girlfriend or boyfriend of yours, but now it will be snakes, scorpions, fire of Jahannam, the flames of Jahannam around you. That will be with in the qabr. And nobody there, no SOS you can send, no emergency numbers you got, nothing whatsoever. Not even the three amals of the people of the cave, how they got saved, that was for dunya. In the qabr, that also is not going to be applicable. You are just there with your amal, no help from anyone. You can't go to the Hague and bring a court case against what is there. It's no one there for you. It's your amal. So we must think what we have done and how it is going to be in the qabr. And that will be ila yawmi yub'athun, till the day of qiyamah. What will be the condition of a person? So we all must be conscious about this and think about it. Then our amal that we do, this reminder is very necessary for all of us from time to time, so that we think on this line. And the good that we have to be doing, think for ourselves, am I doing all what is ma'amur bihi, what Allah has commanded to you? Today a person is regarded as pious normally when he dresses piously. His outward form, he's got topi, beard, kurta, amama, very pious. This man is in sunnah. And he goes in jamaat, oh, he's a jamaati man, so there is no question. He's a maulana, oh, he's a maulana, so there is no question. For proposal, anything, he's above board. But we don't look a little bit beyond that. Just the outside form. And we know there are enough con men in the world. We all experience it. Am I not a con man? That with this my outside form, I'm just conning people. I'm just giving, making them think that I'm very pious. I got a burqa on. I'm a niqabi. I got my old-fashioned type burqa I wear, not this modern cloaks and that also. So I think I'm pious. But what is inside is the thing that is going to count. So we have to see that our inside and see our deen, the most important in our deen is our aqaid, our beliefs. And my beliefs, are they correct? Each one we have to check. We don't think of my beliefs. I don't think that whether my tawheed is in its place. That one buzur, when he was presented for accountability, Allah asked him, what did you bring? He thought that if I present namaz, faults will come out in my namaz. If I present this, weaknesses will come out. One thing I can present, like perhaps all of us think, tawheed. I believe in the oneness of Allah. So Allah asked him, have you forgotten the night of the milk? Referring to that one night he drank milk and his stomach started paining and he attributed it to the milk. I drank milk last night, that's why my stomach is paining. So has milk got power? Or has only Allah got power? So where's your tawheed now? You say that Allah is the doer of everything, but just that little milk and you made it your God. That it affected me as far as sabab is concerned, and this also we must understand properly that we don't deny sabab at all. In fact, to live a life with asbab, using asbab, is ayn sunnat. That is the correct sunnat. But to believe in that asbab as arbab, they are the doers of things. That is ayn shirk. Then you have made shirk. And you use the asbab, and with this conviction, asbab can't do anything. Allah has made it. Allah has put the effects in it. It's not its own control of that effect. Allah can give it to me with that effect. Allah can give it to me no effect. Allah can give it to me opposite effect. With that conviction, then that food you eat becomes such a great ibadah. And if you eat it with the wrong intention, that the food will fill my stomach. Or I'm eating gases too, food that is causing the gas and causing me trouble. Or this is causing blisters to come on my body. This is causing that. Now you made that food your Allah. Now that eating of your food will take you to Jahannam. And if you eat it with the correct intent, with the correct yaqeen, our aqaid are correct, it will take your eating of your food will take you to Jannah. So it's very, very important that everything. By Abdul Wahhab Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi of Raiwin, towards the end of his life, emphasized a lot to everyone. When you open your shop, speak to your shop. That my shop, you don't give me my rosy. My Allah gives me my rosy. You are the means. I will use you. Sunnah to make business, to earn your living. But you are not my God. Allah will give me my rosy. When you take your medicine, speak to your medicine. That my medicine, you can't give me shifa. You can't keep me going. It's only Allah who keeps me going. And if these are just words also at the beginning, eventually they will become realities. It will strike you. That is why, la ilaha illallah. And that also, see, we are supposed to be all of us. We are in the Khanqah, so we are all zakirin, shagirin. We are regular with our zikr. But how many of us do our zikr? And zikr was, now it is still common, bara tasbih. That is, 1300 times, la ilaha illallah, Allah, Allah, Allahu, Allah, etc. And before that it was 120,000 times. Ours is 100 times. Each one ask again, we all know our own condition. Am I making 100 times a day my zikr? 100 times la ilaha illallah, 100 times Allah. Who of us are doing it? How many of us can say that we are doing? And yet, outwardly, I'm very pious. I'm all right. I've got no problem. And la ilaha illallah has got the greatest effect to correct our aqaid, to correct our amal, to make our islah. And this, you don't have to go to a sheikh also. You don't have to go khanqah. Everyone can do it. But who does it? Practically, nobody is doing it. So, where are we? And yet, I'm thinking we are all right. So then aqaid which we don't think about. The little we think about, namaz. Then I'm a five-time namazi, I'm a five-times namazi. And I can't think since when I'm a five-times namazi. But I don't think for how long I wasn't a namazi. Or I was a namazi, but just haphazard namaz. Not wuzu properly, not on time, not with jamaat, no concentration, just a slapdash namaz. For how long was it? And even now, what's the condition of my namaz? So namaz. And after, our aqaid is our ibadat, our worship. And in ibadat, it's not only namaz. We know there is namaz, there is roza, there is zakat, there is hajj. All those things in order. And then besides that, our nafil namazes, all our sunnah muakkada, wajib, nafil namazes. Then our tilawat of Quran Sharif, our zikrullah, in ibadat, there are plenty of more things. Our charity, not only our zakat, how many are giving our zakat properly? And zakat masalas also, that when is my zakat compared to those who are giving? Who is conscious that when I had so much money, that on the nisab, and from that day I must calculate if that money remained the whole year with me. And if it diminished in the year, then what is the ruling now? Did I gain the full amount came end of the year? We don't worry. We don't think about it. Just guesswork we do. Those who give zakat, mostly are just doing guesswork. Fortunate are those who give extra just to make sure. But it's surprising. People work, good people, rich people, pious people, they work out the zakat to the cent. They don't want to give 1 cent more. To the cent they work out. We can't give more. Whereas, and we're doing guesswork. And we don't want to give that fuel, that little bit extra also. If, for example, 0.23 cents, they won't make it 0.50 cents also. And round it up to the rand also, they are not. They will just give so much. That is my due, I'll just give so much. And that is far beyond what we are supposed to give. And charity should be, just like I explained about the incident of Imam Waqidi, charity should be the lifeblood of a mu'min. We should be giving freely, we should be spending. And on the other hand, those who are doing, they are doing, mashallah. But for on our side, what am I doing? And we are just overwhelmed with the thought that what am I earning? Where can I give? And the rich people, they will give. But me, I'm a peddler. How can I give? Everyone must give. If a person can't give 1,000 rand, he can give 100. He can't give 100, he can give 1 rand. He can give 50 rand. Fazilat of it is so much that a piece of a khajur. How much will one khajur cost roughly today? A piece of it. And a piece is not half. Just a piece of that khajur also you can give as charity. And no, people will not appreciate it, but by Allah, Allah grows it till it will become like Mount Uhud. So much Allah Ta'ala grows it. So, and that is ibadat. Then comes to muamalat, which even ulama who are in business, they don't think of any shariat rules of how to do business. And then comes muasharat. That is like nil. And then akhlaq. Akhlaq also we think on Western lines akhlaq. And our Islamic akhlaq, we don't think also. Adab also. So where are we? So Allah give us tawfiq to think. Think of it, kullu nafsim bima kasabat rahina. Every soul will be pawned, will be encompassed by what it has done. And we're going to be in our qabr all around. And when we're going, nobody knows. It could be now. Any one of us could go. And what will happen in my qabr? And just that, inshallah, will rectify and make our Islam. Allah give us tawfiq.